He turns. He fires for the win. He's got the bucket at the buzzer.
Weber back to Bibby. Has the open shot.
Ladies and gentlemen, up on those feet. Put those hands together. And we'll meet tonight starting five for your Sacramento Kings.
Welcome to the Kings Beat Podcast. I am James Hamm, Kings Insider for ESPN 1320 and the Kings Beat. Also, I now have to say, and host of the Insiders on ESPN 1320. Joining me today, Brenda Nunes from the Kings Pulse Podcast. Brendan, how are you?
Doing well. Visiting family in Southern California. And I told my little brother that this was happening, not to barge in the room. But I do got to say, we're kind of prone to that potentially happening. But yeah, doing well. How's the first week of the show gone?
It's good. I'm a little ragged. It's not so much the show as it is, like waking up at 7 o'clock every day. I'm a night owl, but waking up at 7 o'clock every day. And when I have something early in the morning, my internal clock won't stop. So I start waking up at like 5:30 and then 6 and then like 6:15. And so I can't actually wait till the alarm goes off at 7. So that's been the biggest adjustment. Like, I think one day I was able to sneak a nap in after work. It is what it is. Like, we have to make adjustments. And I've been on NBA schedule for, you know, the last 13 seasons. So your body gets used to it. And but outside of that, I absolutely love working with Kyle Madsen. He's super cool. He started playing some new music on Friday, which was cool. And we're just getting the flow, trying to figure it out.
Yeah. So there's a lot of Niners news recently, right? Fun Chiefs-Lions game recently, too. So lots of football going on.
Yeah, there's so much football. That's what's carried us through this week. But we also, you know, there is Kings news. And there is, like, basketball news outside of Kings news. If anyone hears the dogs this morning, it's because the boys are now feeding the dogs. We're recording this on Saturday morning. It's been really chaotic, between my job. Sean has some stuff going on. Brendan, of course, always has. We all have busy lives, and trying to find a spot to squeeze us in this week was strangely difficult. So that's why we're doing it Saturday morning, which is very rare for us, and I don't think either one of us on Saturday.
Yeah, when's the last time we've done a morning pod? Yeah.
Yeah, we don't typically do morning pods. And that's why when people say, oh, is the show going to interfere with the Kings Beat? And the answer is no, because we don't do morning pods. Sean, it's usually Sean who can't do morning pods, because Sean has a busy life that he helps out with family stuff in the morning. I don't think it's going to impact the Kings Beat at all. I still will be writing. I still will be covering every game, going to every practice, everything else. So, but it's different, Brennan. It's different to have like your own show and like have those responsibilities. And then Kyle and I made this weird mistake where we both brought donuts in for everybody yesterday. And so I'm like, oh man. So I brought donuts in, and I don't usually eat breakfast. I'm a coffee guy in the morning, and I'm like, oh, donut smells good. So I grabbed a donut, and then it was like, okay, we brought in a lot of donuts. So I went and grabbed a second donut, and then we get to the show. I'm two cups of coffee and two donuts in, and I'm like a squirrel. Like the blood was pumping like, whoa, like what in the world is happening? So I've got to learn to not eat coffee and donuts before going on the air for 2 hours, because it made 2 hours feel like about 15 minutes. So
some pre-built chemistry, though, both bringing in donuts on the same day.
It was random. Like he's at his previous place was Donut Friday. I was driving to work, and I'm like, you know what? Like when you start somewhere new, like you're sort of invading other people's space. And like this, the ESPN 1320 studios is like this massive building, and there's a lot of people that work there all day long doing other things outside of just like being on air or, you know, being in the boardroom. You know, we have engineers, and we have salespeople, and we have big bosses and, you know, like executive secretaries and like there's all kinds of people, like a promotions department. And so they've been very welcoming to us. So I think both of us felt it by the end of the week and we're like, hey, let's bring in donuts. We did not coordinate it, but then we both walk in with big giant boxes of donuts. So it happens. So Brendan, how have you been? Everything good?
Yeah, doing well. I got to make a fun announcement on Monday. I've been itching to do it, but I don't get to quite yet. But Monday will be the day.
Nice.
Doing well, you know, enjoying some time with family down here in SoCal. I mean, I'm sure you know this, but now that I'm starting to, you know, I think 2 years now, I'm getting a better feel for the schedule of what covering the NBA looks like. And it's clearly this month and last month that are the two real off seasons. And so I'm trying to take advantage of that a little bit. So enjoying spending time with family, got a lot of siblings down here and it's been good to connect with them. Also doing, you know, I enjoyed trying to get into football even more so and really enjoyed that the Lions beat the Chiefs. I will say that was an extremely entertaining game and way to kick it off and some Team USA stuff and the pictures, videos of JaVale getting around the facility have been fun. So doing well, kind of all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. I personally, like, we have Patrick Mahomes in fantasy, and I don't really care who wins, like, on a game like that. I hope that Mahomes throws.
The drops gotta bother you, though, right? With him in
fantasy.
Oh,
yeah. Like, if I could have, like, flown to Kansas City and, like, smacked Kadarius Toney like everyone else wanted to in Kansas City and everyone who owns Mahomes. I mean, it wasn't just, like, the pick six. You know, there's -1 right there for Mahomes for the pick. But it was the late drop that would have been a touchdown or really close to it that I think was really frustrating. I felt bad for the guy because, I mean, that's not how you want to start a season. And like you do that again and you're not on that team anymore. I mean, that's, you don't blow a game like that one single player, when the rest of the team, you know, sort of held up their end. Let's get to Kings news. Well, first of all, let's get to the business side. If you're watching here on YouTube and you don't mind, give us a thumbs up. Also subscribe to the channel. We have grown and super excited about a really, really big season for the Sacramento Kings. And, we'll be here all season long to take you through. We're really excited about sort of the things that are coming up and the way that this team is constructed and sort of the vibe that's going on in Sacramento. And I think this is going to be certainly for me, a season that's unique and that, there's a good chance that they'll be good. And we didn't even know that last season coming into the year. We thought maybe, but I also had thought that, you know, maybe a dozen other times throughout the years and it never showed up and came to fruition. So stick with us here at the Kings Beat, become a premium subscriber, go to thekingsbeat.com and, you know, jump on board. Like this is, we got you guys covered for all your Kings news. The latest, Brendan, the Kings, yesterday afternoon, officially, they had traded for Scal Labissiere earlier in the week. And I know Sean sat down with Scal, and Scal was really excited about the potential to go to training camp and actually, you know, be part of the team and possibly have a chance to fight for a spot. But what they did yesterday was they signed Scal and then waived him right afterwards. And I know that confuses a lot of people, but I'll just, like, clarify right away. This move was always meant for the Stockton Kings. Scal Labissiere was not going to compete for a roster spot. He was going to always be part of the Stockton Kings. That's why they traded for his rights. And what happens in this situation, Brendan, is when you sign somebody to a contract right now, you can give them some guaranteed money. So you have roster spots. So he goes into like a standard roster spot, and then you can give him a signing bonus. And then you can waive him right afterwards. And so basically he gets free money to go play for the Stockton Kings. The only way this works, it's how they did it with DJ Stewart last year. The only way it works is if you already have his rights for the G League. If you don't have his rights and you try to do this, then you're limited to only giving him $50,000 bonus. We saw this last year with, it was Sam Merrill, right? The Kings gave him $150,000. Once he didn't make the team, and he almost made the team. Once he didn't make the team, though, they didn't have his G League rights. When they waived him, he went into the G League draft and was selected number 1 overall and went somewhere else and took the $150,000 with him and went on with his merry way. Are you cool with how they're doing this? Like, is there any questions you have about like the Scowl situation?
Not really. I mean, they have so many bigs, you know, that we talked through last episode, but just Sabonis, Lyles, Len, Nerlens, JaVale now, Nemi, like it was hard to see room for Scowl on the main roster. And to your point, it always made sense that this was likely a Stockton related move. And that, is obviously how it ended up working out. And I think that it'll be interesting to see him get an opportunity down there. If he does play well, there's always the chance that, you know, he ends up getting moved up. We saw, you know, just because the roster is locked in, there was a Chima Moneki and KZ Akpala on the roster last year, and you can alter that throughout the season if somebody is performing well. So if Scowl proves it in the G League with Stockton, then he could get his opportunity. And I think that's a good spot for him to try and get some reps. You know, he didn't play all too many games with Mexico City. I believe it was about 8 games on two different occasions throughout two different seasons. And so about 16 total is what I believe, somewhere right around there. And yeah, you just need to see it a little bit more with him. So I was kind of surprised to see that it was a 3-team trade and the player the Kings sent out was DJ Stewart.
Yeah.
And that was slightly surprising to me, but also, you know, he was coming off the bench in Stockton last year, but I had kind of liked DJ Stewart. You mentioned that was a guy that last offseason they had given some money to, so obviously they liked him a bit as well, but he's the one on the way out headed to the main Red Claws, which is the Boston Celtics affiliate.
Yeah, and the thing with DJ Stewart, like, look, he's been with the Stockton Kings for, I think, 3 years. Like, that's a long time in the G League, and you don't want to become, like, a franchise guy in the G League. G League players don't make a lot of money. It's not nearly as lucrative as going overseas and playing for a European team. So that's why a player like him, if you want to keep him here in the States, you got to do what the Kings just did with Scowl, where you give him a little bit of money and then you waive him. And so he has that money to supplement what he's going to make in the G League and what he's not going to make in Europe. And we've seen this for years. The league has changed rules here and there to try to tighten it up a little bit. But overall, I think it's a good way to build your program, right? Like, Scalabi's here may or may not ever make it up to the Sacramento Kings again. But the fact is Scowl is probably a solid player at the G League level. And now you got him in the fold and you know, he's a good human being. You know what type of person he is because you already have experience with him. So you're not taking a gamble on somebody and just hoping things work out. So, and then it, like Brendan, I know there's confusion about this. So the Kings have Sabonis as their starting center. They have Trey Lyles who can play both the 4 and the 5. Then they've got Alex Len. They've got JaVale McGee. They've got Nerlens Noel. They've got Nemi Azketa. We're looking at 6 centers and maybe 5.5, right? And is there confusion here? Because I know a lot of fans out there seem to be confused about why the Kings have so many centers at this point. But I think we can walk through why, can't we?
I think we can. I mean, I would guess that JaVale was unexpected, him becoming available, because I do think, as we laid out last episode, that there is some overlap with him and Nerlens Noel in what their capabilities are. And obviously giving JaVale that guaranteed contract, the things that have come, the way that you and Sean have talked about him, it seems like they are very high on JaVale. And, you know, I have my questions there, but obviously there's questions that the organization has around Nemi Azketa and Nerlens Noel, with those being non-guaranteed deals. And I view those more as training camp deals, right? You're trying to figure out, are these guys going to show us something? And then maybe they'll stick around. And so I think that makes sense. I do question a bit, though, like the opportunity cost here. This team needs more. Well, I don't know about needs, but it never hurts to have more wings. And that's always been a spot where the Kings could use a little bit more depth. I know they have Kessler Edwards still at the end there, who showed some interesting things last year. There's still Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray. There's Sasha. Colby Jones maybe can slide down. Chris Duarte. So it's not like they're lacking necessarily in that aspect. But I do wonder a little bit of, you know, wings are so highly valued and what they really think can play 2-4, that maybe there's a little bit of opportunity cost that you're missing out on here. You could go look at a Justice Winslow, a Stanley Johnson or something like that, rather than signing one of these guys. Although there is another spot remaining and a two-way.
Yeah. Well, okay. So the Kings still have a two way, but they also still have like two roster spots, two or three now, because you can carry up to 21 all the way until the day before the season starts. So I get what you're saying. If they want to go out and sign a wing, they can. We still haven't heard what they're going to do with Jordan Ford, but I would expect him. We expect him to be in camp. That's everything that we're hearing. He will be in camp. And then when you talk about like the training camp, I'll say this. When you're an NBA team and you have aspirations of being really good, you have to take advantage of player availability when you can. And that means that sometimes you burn through some cash, making sure that you have something covered, and then something else becomes available later that's better than what you have, like your coverage stuff. And so that's how, like, the idea of Nerlens Noel made sense, right? Brennan's talked about this for a long time. You like the fit. I don't love the fit just because Nerlens can't stay healthy. And not only that, but Nerlens offensively has always been challenged. And I would have preferred a true, like, rim runner and pick and roll specialist to him. But it's okay. Like, I was fine with the move. He does do a lot of things that are interesting, right? So that's one player. The Alex Len thing. Like, Alex Len did the work last year. He was a good teammate. When you needed him late in the season, he actually stepped in and played some really nice quality basketball. And so you know what you have there. But and then we have Nemias. And Nemias is a young guy, and you want to promote, you know, success within your own organization. And I think in a perfect world, the Kings would have given him a two-way, but I just don't think that he was in that mode. Like, he doesn't want the two-way. He wants to be part of the main roster. He thinks he's earned that with his play in the G League. Hard to argue with that. So then when you put them all on a board, it's not just that you start, like, placing, like, who does what or like who makes what money. Like, to be honest, they all make minimum money. All four of these guys that we're talking about that are this back section of the five man spot. But you didn't know JaVale McGee was going to become available when you signed Alex Len and Nerlens Noel. And Nemias Keita, you wanted to bring in for, you know, for your own reasons as part of building your franchise and your program. But things change. And I think what I would tell Kings fans is this: what you don't want to see is your team be cheap and say, no, we already signed Nerlens Noel. We don't want to bring in JaVale McGee. That's not what you want. What you want is for your team to go, you know what? We'll let them fight it out at camp, but this is a really good player that we think fits our system and is that true rim runner, that pick and roll specialist that we can put with Malik Monk. Does all that make sense, Brennan?
Yeah, definitely. And they picked him up fast. There was clearly not much hesitation there. And our buddy Sam Amick reported that McGee actually had an opportunity to go to the Warriors. And
yeah,
picking the Kings over the Warriors, this is a little bit of a moment, right? It shows where the Kings are at. And it could be a combination of things. It could be a relationship with, you know, there's Mike Brown that worked with him previously in Golden State, Luke Laux as well, maybe even Rasse Fox, De'Aaron's wife. You never know where that relationship necessarily really lies. And it could also be an aspect of he thinks that the Kings are in a good spot. Maybe he wants to run the floor with De'Aaron Fox. Like, we don't really know what combination of what led into that decision, but I think it's quite a moment for somebody to pick going to the Kings over the Warriors.
No, I think you're right. Even though it's a 35-year-old who was just waived. No, I think it does mean something. It means that you're building a program. And it also, like, the Kings were aggressive. They went out and they gave him guaranteed money. I think that that's maybe why you saw the full guarantee. You know, maybe there was a world where you gave him, you know, $1 million to show up to camp, but like a make good contract. But there was no way to do that because you had other teams lurking. And I think it also, Brennan, I think it speaks to the fact that JaVale McGee is still a functional player in the NBA, and teams know that, and they want him. And for me, I was always concerned about, like, you have all these bigs, but none of them really do what you need for Malik Monk. Like, Malik Monk loves the pick and roll. He loves the lob. And, like, if you don't have that player to put alongside him, which is a basic player in the NBA. It really is. We're not talking about some like abstract, you know, like mystical beast, you know, a unicorn that you can't find. Like rim runners are standard operating procedure in the NBA. The Kings have had them in the past. Rashawn Holmes, Damon Jones.
Marvin Bagley kind of falls into it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's if you have a player like Monk, you want to give him the tools to succeed. And to be honest with you, JaVale McGee, for me, is one of those players. Was one of those guys that you're like, okay, look, I can see JaVale going up and hammering down a lob from Malik Monk, which opens Malik to do a lot of different things. And, you know, like, I'm okay with that. So do we have this figured out? I mean, if you're ranking them right now, give me your rank one through six.
Ooh, okay. Well, obviously Sabonis first. And yes. I go Lyles second, if Lyles was part of this ranking. I think I still go Len three. But I think this is where it's really situational on pretty much everything after Sabonis. It kind of depends on the matchup and what you want in that specific look. But I'd probably go Lyles second. I think Len third. And then I'd put McGee. And then who else we got? We got probably go with... Oof, hard between Nimi and Nerlens. But I think that current production, I go with Nerlens. We still got to see what that obviously looks like. And that's very much a toss-up between the 5-6 for me. But I'll go Nerlens 5 and Nimi 6. What would your 1-6 be?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely Sabonis and Lyles. I'm going to put JaVale at number 3. I think the Kings, they really like JaVale. They do. And, you know, he's 7 foot and he weighs 270. Like, I was surprised by that. Like, that's what he's listed at. That's a big man. And the Kings need that type of player. And I think he's more versatile than Alex Len. I think Alex Len, again, was there. He put in the work. But I'd also say, like, I think camp competition is going to be pretty fierce. And I think it'll be fierce between Len, Nerlens, and Nimi. And I think that at the end of the day, I think they'll keep Alex Len. And then it's going to be a coin flip whether they keep one more. And if you get to that point where you've already kept two 30-plus-year-old backup centers, then if you're keeping one more, I put Nemias Keita above Nerlens Noel without any question. And that's just because, you know, why would you keep a 29-year-old fifth center when you got a, you know, 25-year-old that maybe still has a lot of room to grow? And some
been in your system development time.
Yeah, he's been in your system. He does a lot of good. And you know, I think the other question is this kind of interesting. Like, if something were to happen to Domantas Sabonis, let's say he misses 2 weeks, who's your starting center?
Oof. You don't run into this problem. I don't love this question, but it's not Trey. You know, we saw a lot of times if a guy went down last year, they would take somebody that was kind of from out of the rotation and move them into the starting lineup rather than try and, you know, so they don't mess with the rotation. And I think you'd like to keep Trey coming off the bench rather than mess with his minutes and bring him into the starting lineup. I guess JaVale? It comes down to JaVale or Len for me.
Okay. I'm going to go the other way. I think that it would be Trey Lyles. And it's because I think Trey Lyles can emulate what Sabonis does better than the other two. And so while he's not the rebounder and he's not going to, I mean, he can score, but really it is that I think you can put him in a passing game and not have to scrap everything for 2 weeks while Sabonis is out. And then, so in that situation, you spend like 10 games learning how to play without Sabonis. And then you get to spend like 3 games learning how to play with Sabonis again. And so I think normally you're right, but if you have major depth at a position, like I don't think Malik Monk is going to slide in the starting two guard spot if Kevin Huerter goes down for 3 weeks. I think you'd see Chris Duarte. And if De'Aaron Fox goes down, you don't see Malik Monk go over there. You see Davion Mitchell, right? Those are specific situations, though. Anyway, I think it's interesting. I definitely like a bench unit with JaVale McGee playing with Monk, having Sasha Vezenkov's back playing with Duarte, playing with Davion Mitchell. Like, I think that to me is an intriguing, like, second five.
Yeah, definitely. I will add, you know, I feel like they've put a lot of value in high IQ players, and yep. I don't think it makes sense, the two guys that maybe they decided to go in a different direction with, like Terrence Davis, Chimezie Metu, I think don't exactly fit that description. And there might be a little bit of erratic basketball with Malik Monk and JaVale McGee both on the floor. I do agree that there is a potential chemistry there. And I think it's important for Malik to have like the same pick and roll partner. I think that was a aspect of where he could get better, is just having the same guy in that pick and roll in the backup unit. But there's going to be some crazy moments.
I agree that it has all the potential for the Shaqton moments. I love it. I'm here for it. I think like the erratic play, that could be something that totally, it adds like a new fun element. Like, oh no, they went.
Definitely going to be entertaining.
Yeah, they went JaVale and Monk on us. Yeah.
Have you had interactions with JaVale before?
Like small amounts of Yeah, I think a small amount of interaction. He is. Like I've said this, but Jason Jones loves JaVale McGee, loves him. And, you know, of course, his mom played for a season with the Monarchs years ago. So JaVale was around. And JaVale went to UNR, if I'm not mistaken. So, like, he's been around this area. This is just, like, finally he's coming home, I think. I think he will be fun. I think it'll be another personality to have in the locker room. And he's 35 and he's grown into a leader. He's a guy who knows how to talk. He knows how to, you know, like on the floor, he knows how to talk and keep everyone engaged and, you know, sort of direct a defense. And he's very comfortable with Mike Brown. So I think he's going to play. I think the Kings believe he's going to play. If he can't, it's because he shows up and like he's lost a fastball. And I don't think he's done that yet. I actually think he's got another, you know, couple of years left in him just because of like his frame and the way that he plays. Let's get to a couple other things real quick. Christian Wood goes to the Lakers. Any quick thoughts on that?
Damn it. I mean, Christian Wood is good. There's clearly concerns that made this take so long for him to get a deal.
Yes.
And there's reasons that he's hopped around a lot. But he can play basketball. Like he offensively, him and AD as a front court can do a lot of things and are very versatile. So I'm interested to see how that works from a team that isn't relying on him. I think that he's a pretty good fit there and I kind of hate it.
Okay. No, I understand that. I would just say that he doesn't play winning basketball. That's a concern with him. And if he can learn how to play winning basketball with this group of players, then they found a diamond in the rough because he does stuff the stat sheet. But the problem that he's had throughout his career is that it doesn't matter how many points and how many rebounds. When he's on the floor, the team is not winning. And that's a problem. Like even last year, like in the, I think 25 games, he scored 20 or more and the Mavs were 11-14 in those games. Like that's not a good thing. Like if you can't impact winning, but I do like it. And what I hate about Christian Wood is you look at his stats, you look at all the things that he does and you're like, oh man, he'd be a perfect fit next to Sabonis. And you say the same thing about AD. You look at Jackson Hayes, you're like, oh man, he could really play next to Jackson Hayes, all of these things. But you know, he can stretch the floor. He can shoot the three ball. He can block shots. He can rebound. He can score in crazy bunches. But doesn't matter. And there are players like this in the league that they just don't impact anything positive on the winning side of things. So while
Houston, Detroit, you know, everywhere that he's gone, it hasn't really
Charlotte, Philly. Worked.
That's right. Yeah. It hasn't really worked when it comes to winning. And, you know, there is an aspect of like there's personality questions surrounding Nerlens Noel or Christian Wood.
Yeah.
And you never know what that could potentially do dropping it into a locker room.
That's true. I haven't heard that he's like a bad dude. I just like everything that I've heard, like when the Kings load up on high basketball IQ players, he didn't make the list, you know, I mean that not to be mean, but that's kind of the way it is. Let's bust through a couple other things. We're going to have a short pod today. No, Sean, I'm getting on a plane in a couple hours. It's going to be a wild weekend. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm way, way too old to be flying to Vegas and going to a couple of concerts. But I will be at Ed Sheeran tonight. And I will go to Lady Gaga tomorrow. This was like a planned thing from years ago, right at the beginning of the pandemic, that my wife's birthday got destroyed. And now we're finally coming around to do it. Brendan, Team USA bounced from the World Cup. Is there any quick thoughts you have? Like, boy, this was weird.
Not really. I mean, Germany's good, man. Like, I think people overlook some of these other teams. Like, everybody knows I love Franz Wagner. He's really good. Dennis Schröder is almost like the German equivalent to Australian Paddy Mills. Like, Paddy Mills always turns it up when playing for his country. And Dennis Schröder balls out when he plays for Germany. They did this in, I forget the name of last offseason's international games that were going on as well. But he, whenever he's playing for Germany, he is absolutely balling out. They got the other Wagner. Daniel Theiss played amazing in that game.
Amazing, yes.
Like, Germany's good. You know, I get why it's disappointing from USA's standpoint, but it's not like they got killed by some nobodies. Germany's good is my main takeaway there.
Yeah, and the best thing about what Brendan just said there is, if anyone out there watched the game, Brendan actually like pronounced the names correctly. It's not Franz Wagner, like it's Franz Wagner. Like, it's not difficult. Like, Dennis Schröder, it's not difficult. Like, I was sitting there watching going, oh my gosh. And Mo Wagner, you know, you got the Wagner is not that difficult to say. Like, I'm very surprised. And when you're covering European, like, it was cringeworthy a couple of times. The things that I noticed, number one, I didn't understand the offense the whole entire fourth quarter. I thought Anthony Edwards basically running like a four flat was like, what in the world is happening? Like, why are you doing this? Why is he just dribbling and shooting ill-advised shots? I know he's your star, but like, you're helping create a star for somebody else. That's weird. Like, if you're that coaching staff, you had Tyrese Halliburton standing right next to him, just not knowing what to do. You had Austin Reeves that made some nice buckets, but all they did, like, the entire fourth quarter was find the switch and get Austin Reeves and man on and torch him. You know, like, this was like very clear that, you know, they were beating up on some of these guys and taking advantage of some of these guys. And I just thought, you know, to be honest, I thought the coaching wasn't great, which I'm really shocked to say. I'll hit you with this. It is quite the coaching staff. I was like, what in the world are you guys doing? You had better defensive players, and I know you were down, but you could have got back in the game playing defense, not just, you know, getting torched nonstop.
Yeah. Canada also got knocked by Serbia.
So I know.
Fernandez is out of there. Bogdan Bogdanovic gave it to him.
I was really hoping that we'd have the two former Sacramento Kings against each other for the gold medal, Tyrese Halliburton versus Bogdan Bogdanovic. I thought that would have been cool. Who do you got in Team USA versus Canada?
I'm going with Canada, man. I think Canada's really good. Like, I know they lost that game. Like, Kelly Olynyk, the way they're running, they're pretty much running a lot of times Sacramento's offense, and Kelly Olynyk and these dribble handoffs and doing these passes back door. And I think they kind of have the guys to do it. They've moved around their starting lineup a little bit, and SGA might be the best player between all the teams, both rosters there. You know, there's some talent obviously on USA, but I think I lean Canada. That'll be a fun game though.
Ooh, little brother smacks around big brother. Would that be crazy? Would it be crazy to see Jordy Fernandez come back with a bronze medal? And, you know, like, it means so much. It would mean a ton to Canada, where I think, like, again, most of these guys on Team USA would like hide their bronze medal in like the back of their sock drawer. They'd be like, oh, we won the bronze. Okay. We got a short pod today. Brendan has stuff going on. I have stuff going on. Sean is not with us here today and has stuff going on. Brendan, do you have any final thoughts?
Nothing too crazy. Again, I get to make an announcement on Monday, so I'm excited for that and stay on the lookout for that. not excited to drive the five back home. That is probably my least favorite drive. Driving in a straight line drives me insane. But I'm curious to hear how the Ed Sheeran concert goes, because I hear that he's one of the best live performers there is.
He is. I've already seen him once, and he's great, and I'm excited to do it. Okay, final thoughts for me. Number one, don't worry about the center situation. It'll figure itself out. They're not going to keep six centers. They're just not. Number two, Scalabissier situation. That's what was supposed to happen. You know, I hope it works out for Scal. I hope he finds his way back into the league, but this is how the Kings had set up this offseason. Number three, we'll be back this week. We'll have more content, all kinds of stuff. And number four, jump on from 10 a.m. to noon and check out the insiders on ESPN 1320. I'm loving the fit with Kyle Madsen. He's a super cool dude, and we're only going to get better leading into D'Lo and KC. So lots of cool stuff happening, and we'll keep rolling here at the Kings Beat. So for Brendan Nunes from the Kings Pulse Podcast, I am James Hammy, Kings Insider for ESPN 1320 and the Kings Beat. We'll see you next week.